Hello, everyone. Welcome to Developing Palettes. I'm Aaron Loomis coming to you from the Drew Estate Studios. With me today is June Liu, Seth Geist, John McTavish. How you guys doing?
What's up?
We are doing well. Watching Vanderbilt and NC State play.
16 and a half hours of sunlight, man. I don't know how I couldn't be doing well.
Dang.
Yeah, but like next tomorrow, you're only going to have like 1 hour of sunlight, man. And like the wall's going to be snow. Built and the frozen.
No. I have like two good. It's like motorcycle riding. You get like 3 months of, 3 months a year.
Do you guys have a lot of motorcycle riding up there?
Yeah.
It's they like can condense it into those 3 months.
Yeah, it can. I mean, if you're on a virtual HERF, you can hear it because like it sounds like the whatever motorcycle racing, you can just hear them screaming past my house because.
I just imagine like that it's open country that those bikers would get out there, man.
No, this is in the city. This is in the city. They're like doing 160 in the city. They at this point, no one care. No one care at all.
Like have you guys seen that South Park? The South Park episode on motorcycles?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind. It's not appropriate.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, okay. June, when is anything you say appropriate?
I stopped myself.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. So today we are talking about the Drew Estate Liga Privada Unico Serie Year of the Ox 2021. Cigar is a Toro Extra 6.25x54. Comes out of the La Gran Fabrica Drew Estate factory in Nicaragua. Wrapper is Connecticut Broadleaf. Binder is Brazilian Matafina. Filler is from Nicaragua and Honduras. Cigar is blended by Willie Herrera. Price point is quote unquote $21.25. It's only sold in China, so you'll have to figure out how you're gonna buy it.
I know we probably can't answer this question, but I'm assuming the price in China is not $21 because if it's sold in Hong Kong has really high tobacco taxes.
June, can you inform us of this one?
Yes, I could take this one. I don't know.
Could you call your contacts and let us know for the next review?
Yes. 1 second. Let me get on. What is that app that
Weibo? Is it Weibo?
No.
WhatsApp? No.
No. Yeah, no.
WhatsApp.
What is the currency that they?
No. There's another. There's another. No,
WeChat.
WeChat.
What's the currency they use in Hong Kong? Is it what's the
Hong Kong yen? Dollar?
Is it Hong Kong dollars?
Yeah. Yen? It's not RMB. It's Hong, they have their own currency.
Okay. So it's. So this would be $21 US. What do you think this would be like? $40-$50 in Hong Kong?
It's got to be with all the taxes.
Yeah, like I would say. Yeah.
I mean, you're basically priced out of smoking like a regular Joe like in the States by being over there. So.
But it's like this is really even if it was $21 available in the US, and we have to break this down to Drew Estate. We got to give them a hard time on this one. Even $21 is super. Drew Estate's never gone above the $20 mark, have they?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Well, how much was like the. Like the recent ones, like Bauhaus and all that, did they even touch $20?
Well, Bauhaus was Germany.
Yeah, but like I'm just curious.
I don't remember what the price of the Bauhaus was. That's a good point, though.
Yeah, I don't think I had it listed because it was hard to track down.
Oh.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hong Kong or Chinese exclusive, yeah.
And it was released in March of 2021. So, do you want to tell us about your experience with the cigar?
Yes, I will go, given the fact that this is a Chinese-made cigar. Chinese for the Chinese people.
You always go first.
I know. Chinese. Just let me be, okay? Yeah. This is a special moment for me. Okay. So I thought this was... I thought this was a little bit of a departure of like the typical Drew Estate kind of Connecticut Broadleaf kind of cigar. I thought it was... relatively speaking... light in terms of strength, like medium body for sure. Like, I'm sorry, medium strength for sure. Like almost that, I would give it a medium body, medium plus body. But it definitely doesn't have that like full viscosity like some of the other broadleaves that Drew Estate does. In terms of flavors, I thought the first third was really damn good. Like I got a lot of these like sweet raisin and prune notes. It was almost like a, it was almost like any of the real thing where you eat a couple of them, it makes you want to go dump real fast. So with that, I also got some minerals, red pepper, and, it was like subtle spice minerals, which was nice. But yeah, I thought overall it was a really good cigar. I rated the first, second, and last third good. I had you know, perfect construction. I love to smoke this again. It's just probably not going to see it again after knowing that I smoked a couple of a birdie.
All right, Seth, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was, as June said, it was not, it's not as strong as you, it's a lot softer than you think it would be. It's, I mean, it's like the softest medium full, you know, strongest mild medium I've ever had, if that makes any sense. I mean, it's
No, it doesn't.
I mean, this is, all right, you know, when you smoke an Ashton Maduro, you think it's going to be really strong, but it's really not. It's just kind of like a
decadent, yeah, dessert.
Yeah, it's like an Avo Maduro.
June has a friend that would disagree with you, but go ahead.
It's like the Avo Maduro in that it's rich, but it's not like super strong, especially for Drew Estate. It's, I was getting espresso beans, cocoa. I was getting some mineral aspects, baking spices, earth throughout. It wasn't overly complex, but it was just really good flavors that were just consistent, and they had some depth to them throughout. Nice cigar.
All right, John, what were your thoughts?
Well, I smoked two of these. I had contemplated taking the second one and flipping it on eBay for some mad bank, but then I realized that's probably inappropriate, so I ended up smoking it. And I'm glad I did. The review experience was quite consistent. I'm going to echo a lot of what's already been said. For a Drew Estate, which are certainly known for strong, full-bodied, very peppery, very spicy, very chewy cigars, I think they did manage to pull that back. And I was almost shocked, actually, when I lit it up. The first few puffs were so creamy. I was like, have I been sent the wrong cigar? Like, this doesn't seem like this is broadleaf, right? And then the baking spices did kind of come through, but they were definitely restrained. And I have to assume that's an intentional thing for the Chinese audience, who presumably are more European in palate. So they're not going to really be appreciable of, you know, the flavor bomb that a typical Liga Privada might provide. And I thought the first and second third were very consistent. You know, there was really no wavering in the profile. I was pretty engaged the whole time, really clean flavors, balanced. Curiously, the last third, the spices really jumped up on me to medium full, and then I kind of felt the balance fall apart. So ironically, what probably would be catching me in the first third kind of offset me after all this, the balance in the first two thirds, and I had kind of an average experience. The curious thing, so I mentioned I reviewed two cigars. So the first one went out on me in the last third, requiring a relight. The second one was perfect. And then they kind of had a flip on the draw. The first one was a perfect draw, and the second one was resistant. So I don't know. I mean, it was pretty reasonably consistent on a sample size of two, but I just thought it was funny that the first one had a perfect draw and went out, and the second one had a resistant draw and known burn issues, which is not intuitively what you would think. Anyways, all that to say, it was good. I'd smoke these again. They're pretty great. I probably won't, but they're pretty good. Aaron?
Yeah, to me, the cigar tasted like an aged-out Liga. If you had it in your humidor for 4 years or so and went back to it, that's kind of what it reminded me of.
Savage. Savage.
It didn't have that potency that like a Liga would have in its like first year. So, like, you know, you guys have all mentioned that it's not as strong as, like, you know, a number 9 or a T52 or whatever like that. It just seemed like, and there's nothing wrong with that if you like to age your Ligas and stuff like that, but that just doesn't seem like that was the intent of those cigars. So, profiles, you know, musty toasted wood, some dry earth, a little bit of black pepper. I did have the normal Liga, like, heavy tobacco burn issues with, like, three relights on the cigar, so that was a bit of a bummer. I mean, most people aren't going to get a chance to smoke this cigar because it's a release for China only. And I would say if you are a cigar chaser and a Liga fan, I wouldn't waste a bunch of time trying to track it down because I don't think you're going to miss anything if you prefer the more potent stuff. But it was nice to get an opportunity to smoke something that's rare. So you can also always not listen to me since I was the outlier here. So whatever you want to do. But yeah, I mean, I have another one. I will hold it for ransom for the three of you, and to the highest bidder, I will send it. So there you go.
You should. We anyone who makes a comment about your review on the cigar, Aaron, more than likely didn't smoke it, and I can't wait to rip them a new one just to make fun of them because they didn't have the chance to smoke it. And they're right. Going after you.
Well, no, see, this is good because now both trolls can hop in. We can both be slammed for giving a high review and also be slammed for giving a low review, so we can get both sides of it now. It's perfect.
That's right. Yeah. All right, into the scores. Start at the top with June at 7.17.
Ramble.
John was next at 6.57.
Reasonable.
Seth gave it a 6.47. I gave it a 5.55. So June had that 7.17 matchup for you.
Matchup well. I like this change of pace. It was like Seth, you mentioned Alvin Maduro. I mean, I don't think it was quite Alvin Maduro because I think
Did you say Alvin Maduro or you said Ash Maduro?
Well, I said it was no. You both are correct.
I checked out after you said Ash and Maduro. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I did too. I did talk about Alvin Maduro. I don't think it's as complex as Alvin Maduro.
Yeah,
it has that quality of not being over the top, strong, broadly.
Yeah, because I think like Alvin Maduro has definitely like got better finesse to it than this, but this is a nice change of pace from like the overtly, you know, like chewy, chocolatey, highly earthy, stronger broadleaf that typically Drew Estate does. So to that extent, I thought it was good. I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a good handle on what the Chinese market smokes. I just know that they have mainly like Habanos, you know, to be able to smoke. So given that, I think, you know, how it's like on the lighter side of things. And it's also unique because inevitably, I mean, they're simply not going to get broadleaf out of Cuba, right? So this experience is very unique as well. So I think, I don't know. I'm actually curious how these are selling. Like, I mean, we'll probably never know because they're probably not going to be, I don't know. We'll probably never know. But
I would assume that they are probably sold instantly as a status item. No.
Mm. Oh yeah. Can you see some similarities? Thinking about that this was a Chinese release and thinking about, you know, there's a lot of Habanos that get smoked over there. Can you see a lot of qualities with this release being with some Limitada releases, such as like a, you know, a Monte Cristo Limitada, which delivers qualities similar to this?
Yeah, of course. I would say there's a lot of Habanos being bought. I wouldn't necessarily say there's necessarily a lot of Habanos being smoked. I mean, it's pretty hard to smoke through, you know, 40 boxes at a time.
Oh, yeah.
But
Some of them, they still smoke them.
Yeah, no question.
All right, John, 6.57.
Yeah, I think that matches up well. You know, I think the explanation of a subdued Liga is a pretty good descriptor, and I have to assume that's on purpose because, again, I certainly don't know the Hong Kong market, but I certainly have smoked with Hong Kong smokers in Havana. Given that I'm a Canadian, I can go there whenever the hell I want, and I would say that their tastes are more European. So I think if you delivered a Liga Privada 9 experience, that would probably be a little much. But this is a good restrained, like June was saying, you know, it's not so in your face. It was kind of a nice change of pace, frankly. Obviously the price tag is kind of commensurate with the presentation and packaging, which I think was on point. But no, it was enjoyable. Seth?
6.47, Seth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that adds up. It really reminds me a lot of British Hong Kong releases back in the mid-90s. You know, it's a good cigar. I like it. So I would be interested to see what other people thought about it, especially in Hong Kong.
I would echo that. I'm legitimately interested to. I can't imagine any Hong Kong smokers are watching our channel, but if they are, it'd be really cool to get firsthand feedback as to what the consensus was on how they enjoyed it.
All right, my 5.55 matches up well. It was above average flavor profile. I like the first third. Burn issues are just got a little bit of a bummer on this cigar. Otherwise, it'd be in the high fives. Yeah, it just doesn't do it for me. You know, I'll smoke a regular Liga over this, I think. Or I'd smoke a Bauhaus. I like the Bauhaus. It's good.
Do you still have Bauhaus left?
I think I do have like one or two left. Yeah.
You Liga slut.
But you don't have one?
He has a Drew Estate humidor, just like somebody else that we've seen recently have.
I do have a Drew Estate humidor.
Yeah. Everybody's got a little
filled with Ligas.
Except the Canadians, man. Got a big Boron Steel up here.
I've got unbanded and banded Underground 10s in it. Everything. It's just,
well, yeah, everybody's got those. I mean, that's.
And there's a Bashert in there, too. Special.
Everyone's got a Bashert. That's not special. You're not special.
You got your Drew Estate humidor. You got your Davidoff humidor.
Do you have the original? Do you have the original Crump 13.5-inch cigar? Do you?
Huh? 13 yeah.
It wouldn't
would
fit in this humidor anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, really? They made a 13.5-inch cigar?
Yeah, I'll tell you the story in the green room.
I do have a Medusa.
It was
and an egg.
Get out of here with that shit. No,
by the way, guys, why is the footband purple? I don't understand.
I was going to ask you that, June. How is purple perceived in China?
It's not perceived.
Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, I certainly am
the
not.
Gold, the gold, yeah.
Yeah, like, the gold I thought was cool.
They're fucking gold.
I didn't get the purple at all.
But I don't understand the purple. Like, On, explain yourself.
There you go. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, On.
We'll find out from On.
Purple itself is a Rego color.
It is.
But it doesn't have
any
special
to the Europeans.
Yeah.
To the Europeans.
I don't know about the Asian countries.
Yeah, it's not.
This
like,
is just showing the European colonialism back. Right at it. What does the queen wear? Purple. What did Hong Kong used to be under control? The queen.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Thanks a lot, On.
Maybe that'll
bastard.
All right. If you just catch this video on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to us, but also check out the full written review on the website, developmentbalance.com. Follow us on the social media channels, and you can catch all of our review caps on podcasts. So iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Everyone knows you're the Tigers the best.